Hey, can we give those kids one more hand, Encounter family? Pretty cool. Pretty fun to be celebrating all that God did at Vacation Bible School this week. Amen. It was amazing what the Lord did through all of you and through our children and in our children's lives and in our community. And also, we have Camp Pondo starting tomorrow, so we get to have reports of what the Lord will be doing in the lives of students a week from now, so be praying for our students. And then baptisms this summer, I almost can't contain myself, I'm telling you. I hope you can't contain yourself either, because we are in the presence of the Lord today. Can we give the Lord a hand as we begin this morning? You know, I was thinking, you know, is it really possible to be having this much fun as a church? In fact, I thought about even maybe a different way of thinking about it. Is it possible to be having this much fun being the church? And the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. I was thinking about all that's going on in the world around us right now, and I was thinking, well, what should I preach on this week? And I was thinking, maybe I should preach from Lamentations and the Old Testament and grieving before the Lord. And there is a place for the book of Lamentations. There certainly is. But God led me in a different direction this morning. And what I want to share with you is what I'm going to call a biblical theology of fun. Let's say that again. A theology of fun. Now, you did hear me correctly. Now, I know some of you in the room, you're thinking, oh, no, the pastor's going off the deep end here, and all the Bible thumpers in the room, you're seriously worried right now, and I'm going to take you off the slippery slope, we're going to slide down, and we're never going to come back again. But I think what we're going to discover today is that fun is actually incredibly important to God for His people, and very connected to an idea that we're probably way more comfortable with and familiar with, and that is the word joy. And though joy in the Lord definitely goes much deeper than having fun, there are times that when we're experiencing joy in the Lord that it's, well, fun. And that joy in the Lord is something that carries us in some of the hardest times of life. And sometimes in the hardest times of life, having joy in the Lord isn't that fun. But there are actually times where even in the hard times, part of delighting in Christ is having some fun and laughter in the midst of the challenges. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, speaking to how joy brings healing and hope to our souls, the Bible says this: being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Part of how God strengthens us with endurance and patience is with joy. And one of the ways that joy gets expressed in our life in Christ is having fun in godly ways. And that command in Colossians to rejoice, by the way, is a plural command. So that means that we are called as a church family at Encounter to rejoice together. It's something we do together. And so let's rejoice and stand and just read one of our passages today. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? And then we're going to pray. And we're going to be so bold as to pray that we actually have some fun today. Amen. Let me read to you. This is Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let me read that one again. Delight yourself in the Lord, O Encounter family, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have so much to rejoice over today. An amazing week of seeing You work in the lives of children at Vacation Bible School and seeing You work in our own lives for all who served. We thank You for every child who was loved and given hope and encouraged. We thank You for everyone that came to know You as Savior. Lord, we thank You and just celebrate today Milo. Lord, just watching him and seeing him serve here on Sundays and just knowing we get to send him, Lord, as he leads at one of our partner churches in town that we just are so thankful for, God. We just pray Your blessing over his ministry. Father, we pray for our students and all of the servants who will go to love on them this week at camp and We just pray for a mighty work in their lives. Lord, we ask you to show up in a powerful way, just as we ask you to show up right now, Lord. And just teach us a little bit about how your joy is connected to fun at times in life. We thank you, Lord. We give this time to you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a seat. Well, this summer, we are starting a message series that we're calling Summer Playlist. And it's this series where we've invited a few guest speakers, along with myself, to share from some of the greatest hits and deepest cuts of Scripture. You can think of it as looking at some of the classics of the Bible, just these passages that you can't do without, and also looking at some passages that are just very meaningful to us as speakers in this way where it's like you can't help but share with your church family what God is talking about in those passages. And every one of the messages this summer for Summer Playlist is just a great message and a great Sunday to invite a friend to. So we hope you'll invite your friends this summer and that we'll just have a great, great summer together playing God's Summer Playlist through His Scriptures. One of my all-time verses is Psalm 37, verse 4. I'll read it again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. People have often interpreted this verse to mean that if I love God, He'll give me everything I want, right? It really, you know, if I love God, He'll give me everything I want. And that's not what Psalm 37 is teaching. What Psalm 37 is saying is when I make Christ my primary passion, my primary joy, my primary delight, my desires actually become His desires. His wants and desires become my wants and desires. And my wants and desires. And could it be that one of God's priorities for us in our life in Christ is joy? And that part of taking joy in Christ is at times having fun and enjoying the big and small blessings that God loves to bless us with in our life with Him. And that God actually really does love it when His children have fun. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know about you, but as a parent, when I see my children or other children having fun in this world that has so many challenges and so many difficult things for children and students these days, when I see them having fun, there is just this warm feeling, just a smile that comes over my face when I observe that in their life. As a family, we were having dinner this last week all together, and those of you who don't know my family, my wife's name is Amy, and we'll be married 25 years this year. Pretty excited about that. Not yet, but pretty soon at the end of summer. I'll celebrate it early. We have two daughters. They're twins, Katie and Jessica. They're 20 years old, and they're home from college for the summer, so we have a full house, and my son Josh is 17, and we were all having dinner together, and it was good food, and they were talking about their day and their summer jobs. One of them is house sitting right now, and they were just telling us hilarious stories about these animals that they're taking care of this summer. And we were just belly laughing as a family over dinner. And it just warmed my heart as a parent to be a part of that. It was right after I had lost my voice last Sunday. I found it somewhere during the week. And so I was kind of just sitting there taking it all in as they were just enjoying good food and enjoying one another and laughing about life. And it got me to be thinking, you know, like, what does God the Father feel and think when He gets to see His children having fun in His presence? How does that warm His heart? You know, James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. C.S. Lewis once famously said, God shouts to us in our pain and whispers to us in our pleasure. And pain certainly does get our attention, but so does God when He whispers us to His pleasure. Whenever we're enjoying one of God's good gifts, if we will lean into Him, I really do believe in those times when we're enjoying the gifts that He's given us that are good, that we actually get to have this sense of joy of the giver of the gift. And we get to give Him glory in doing that as we lean towards Him in those moments. And a whisper actually suggests that someone very close to us has something important to tell us. And I think there's this aspect of life in rejoicing before the Lord where God just loves whispering his blessing and pleasure and goodness over us. And listening for the whisper of God in the midst of having fun is a good thing. And by the way, if you're ever trying to have fun and you can't hear the whisper of God and you're kind of, and it's actually you're doing something that takes you away from God or causes you not to be close with God, you're probably doing something that really isn't all that fun to begin with. One of the things the Bible says, or one of the things that Oswald Chambers once said about sin, is the root of all sin is the suspicion that God is not good. You know, watching those children on the VBS video, wasn't that amazing seeing all those kids? Some of you got to come Thursday night and to see the show, and many of you were a part of what God did this week. There is just something about children enjoying life and laughing and playing games and singing and dancing where I think there's something that we can learn from our kids. And you know, maybe that means for us today that maybe this week you just need to invite a friend to go get some food and laugh together and maybe even dance. You see those kids dancing? They love to dance. And if you were here Thursday night, I mean, there's just dancing going on throughout this room. Or maybe it's just getting out in nature and enjoying God's great cathedral. When it comes to having fun, I know some of you had fun with me two Sundays ago when I was talking about the ministry of giving, and I had 10 different pieces of fruit up here. And in the second service, in the 10:45 worship celebration, I had these 10 different pieces of fruit, and I started calling one of the pieces of fruit that was a grapefruit a cantaloupe, but I kept doing it with conviction and didn't know I was doing it. And you have had so much fun with me since that time. I have been mocked tirelessly, but I tell you, anything for the kingdom. But it's probably good that you had fun with that, because it actually points us to right where we are as today, because we're asking all the members of our church to affirm our fiscal ministry budget that begins in July of this summer and goes all the way through to June of 2024. And by the way, if you're a part of our church on a regular basis and you're not a member yet, become a member. You know, sometimes people think membership's like this secret code or something like that. It's not. All membership represents is relationship, where you say, I am on mission together with this church family as we encounter God, encourage each other, and engage the world for Jesus Christ. And I want to be a part of what God is doing. And so that's really what membership is all about. But what I did in that illustration is I basically had these 10 different pieces of fruit, and I'll just call them fruit so I don't get them mixed up. And they basically represented our budget for this next year. All the things that we believe God wants us to trust him for and through all the ministries of our church, locally and around the world. And what we were sharing is, if you take those 10 pieces of fruit to represent all the ministry we believe God wants us to trust him for, and then you take just the history of giving in this last season, we think, to the best of our ability, that we're going to come up one fruit short when it comes to the amount of giving that we need for this next year. And so we basically were just asking everyone, hey, would you pray and just ask God, what is my something more than what I have been doing in this last season when it comes to the ministry of giving that I could give on a regular basis going forward? Because if every one of us in this room, I mean, look around the room for a moment, because if every one of us in this room would just do something more than what we were doing prior to this summer, God is going to just obliterate that one piece of fruit that we think we're going to be missing at the end of the year. And you can think of it on this level, like if we all did $5 more a week, imagine. I mean, look around the room. Just $5 more a week, more than what we were doing. I mean, that little piece of fruit that was missing would just get exploded. And so I was asking everyone, hey, first of all, vote and affirm the budget for this next year and ask God, what is my something more than what I was doing prior to this summer? And then just trust God for it on a regular basis going forward. But I had these 10 pieces of fruit, and they were grapefruit, okay? And I kept calling them cantaloupe. Now, I want to explain myself. I feel like I have to defend myself. Because I went to the store to get 10 cantaloupe originally. But I don't know if you've ever bought 10 of cantaloupe, but they're expensive. And so I thought, I'm not going to pay that much money for 10 cantaloupe. And I saw these bags of grapefruit. And so I got those instead. But in my notes, it said cantaloupe. And so I kept getting mixed up all throughout the day. It was really, really bad. But I've been mocked tirelessly ever since that time. I mean, I have found grapefruit on my porch. I have. I went over to someone's house and they had me play a fruit guessing game. I am not lying. They had all kinds of random kinds of fruit and we were supposed to guess what types they were. I've had cantaloupe show up. I've had all kinds of things. So I'm really not fruit deprived right now. I just want you to know I've got lots of fruit in my life. But I know some of us are not convinced yet that in the midst of joy in the Lord, it's actually really important to God that his people also have fun in the midst of that. And sometimes in life, there's so many hard things going on and so many challenges and adjustments, it's even hard for that joy to even, you know, break the existence of our mindset in that moment. But maybe you love God so much today, you're thinking, well, is it really okay to have fun right now? I mean, with all the things that are going on in the world and all of the work that is yet to do for the kingdom and all the people who are in so much need around us. And have you ever wondered about how much fun a Christian can really have and feel good about it? Really? How much fun can a follower of Christ really have and feel good about it? And I get why we ask questions like that, even feel like that sometimes, because the prevailing thought out in the world is that Christians are not that much fun. And that the Bible is a fun killer, not a joy maker. That is the prevailing thought out there. But the Bible is actually full of joy. And I want to show you by giving a flyover of what I'm going to call a theology of fun. And I will tell you that I have Bible mentors in my life that I'm listening to all the time. And some of them have really shaped me in this area of my life over time. And I pray that some of the things I've learned from others that you can learn from today. And so even if you just do a little survey, so consider this with me this morning. If you just do a little survey and find all the places in the Bible where the words joy and happiness show up, you will find that over 400 times in one form or another, the words joy and happiness show up in the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Just this liberal amount of joy and happiness. In fact, in the opening chapters of the Bible, in Genesis 1 and 2, we're told again and again that everything God created was good. In fact, it was very good. And we're told that God delighted in what he had made and that he created everything. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we read, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And we get this sense that Adam and Eve took pleasure in the beauty and diversity of the world and God had given them, and even in naming the creation and naming the animals. And as Adam and Eve were tending to the garden and enjoying the fruit of the vine, they started naming everything. And I want us to imagine what this must have been like. I just think of like Adam was there one day and he's like, "Hey, Eve, look at that one. Look at the neck on that creature. We're going to call that one a giraffe." And I'm sure Eve was like, "A giraffe? Are you sure, Adam? I mean, really, a giraffe?" He's like, "Yes, Eve, we are going to call that one a giraffe." And I'm sure Eve was like, "Okay, if we're going to call that one a giraffe, we're going to call that one over there an aardvark." And I'm sure Adam was like, "Aardvark, Eve? Are you serious? I'm not sure that looks like an aardvark." And I'm sure Eve was, "No, Adam, it is going to be an aardvark." And so Adam's like, "Okay, Eve, if you're happy, everybody's happy," which was like him at that time. And so they have all kinds of fun naming the creatures, and they took pleasure in one another, and they enjoyed their relationship with God, walking with him in the garden. And then, as we know, sin entered the world and broke everything. And broke their relationship with God. And God began the greatest rescue mission ever accomplished and began this great story of redemption. And he set aside a people by grace for his own heart. And one of the things that he commanded his people is that every week on one day they'll stop from all the work that they're doing and they will worship the Lord and they will rest from what they were doing. Basically, the commandment of the Sabbath is that they would pray and that they would play, that they would take time to worship in the Lord, to soak in the Word of God, to soak in God's presence, and to enjoy the fruit of all the labor they were doing. And several times a year, they were commanded to stop everything and throw these great celebrations, these festivals, these holy days. And as a part of these festivals for the nation of Israel, there would be storytelling going on till late in the evening, and there'd be these lavish meals, and these stories that they were telling were all pointing to the promises of God and to the grace of God and to this great Messiah who was yet to come, this Savior who was going to come make this great sacrifice for the sin that had entered the world. And even if you look at weddings in the Bible, and we think wedding celebrations are big today. No. In the Old Testament, they went on for days. There was food, there were meals, there was dancing until people dropped. And then you have Israel's hymnal, the book of Psalms, is full of happy tunes and songs of joy and songs of lament. And my point is simply this, is that they're both in there in the book of Psalms. And even the wisest man in the Bible once said this in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in the toil, in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Other translations say this enjoyment is a gift from God. Enjoying the fruit of our labors before the Lord is a gift from God. And so Encounter, I hope you see it. In the Old Testament, it is full of joy and actually full of fun in the midst of it. But you go, well, okay, well, that's the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? Did Jesus have fun? Well, think about it. I mean, there's this one day where all the adults in the room are like, hey, Jesus, you should get back to teaching all the adults as he's sitting there with some children on his knee and he's bouncing them up and down. And they're like, hey, let's get back to the real business, Lord. And the Lord's like, no, I am doing the Father's business right now. And Jesus knew what we know is that children are like just permanent joy. They're like professional joy rejoicers, aren't they? They just know how to fun and they know how to dance. And Jesus actually says he saw the Father, he saw the faith of these children, and that all of us need to learn from that. And you think of other parts in Jesus' life, you know, in the very beginning of his ministry, he actually just makes a wedding celebration by providing vats. Not just one vat, but vats of the best wine, no matter how you argue it, for this wedding celebration. And yes, he was making a point, a much greater point, from doing that miracle, but he still used a wedding celebration to do it. And then there are so many times where Jesus is actually spending time with sinners at parties that it was a scandal among the religious leaders of the time. They're like, how dare you have so much fun with these people who are so far from God and need God's forgiveness and presence? And Jesus is like, well, no, I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now, sharing the joy of the Father and salvation with these folks. And then I think of times even like after the resurrection. How after Jesus has risen from the dead, he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter is out in his boat. And as soon as Peter sees the risen Lord, he jumps into the Sea of Galilee with all of his clothes on. I mean, Jesus must have belly laughed when Peter jumped off that boat and swam towards the shore. Or even before that, I think of how Jesus had to laugh and he was teaching us about being servants. And having hearts of a servant that are full of joy and not full of being sour. It actually took place right before he was arrested, tried, and crucified. How the night before he was to be crucified, you think about all the things that are on his mind and all the things that he would have been preoccupied with. He has this meal in the upper room with the disciples. And this is what we read in John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God the Father and was going back to God, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around them. And this was quite a moment, because normally there would be a servant or a slave or someone to wash the guest's feet as they arrived at the house. But for whatever reason, on this particular day, No one is there. And none of the disciples take the initiative to go and wash one another's feet. Maybe they're too busy arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom, because that's what they were actually talking about at that moment. Maybe they thought it was below them. We really don't know. But I can only imagine the incredible silence when Jesus got down on his knees, got some water and some towels, and began to wash the feet of the disciples. He leaves what he was doing and he goes and blesses the disciples, and he models for them and for us what it means to be a servant with joy. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's the biblical pattern of serving with joy. You might think about it this way. Would you imagine with me if President Biden and Kevin McCarthy, who's the Speaker of the House, so two opposing parties, right? You following me? All right, if Kevin McCarthy and President Biden came to this area because they had become friends and were going to have dinner together. Okay, so just imagine this with me. This would be a modern miracle, all right? And they're going to have a dinner at the fanciest restaurant in Santa Barbara that you could imagine. And they invite you to come along. And so you come along, and when you get there, you realize that your table is right next to the head table where Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, and the President of the United States are just enjoying a meal together because they're friends. This is a miracle, okay? And you're sitting there, and you're watching, and you notice after a while that all the dishes start to get higher and higher in the room and on the table. And all of a sudden, the person in charge of the event comes to the head server and is like, hey, why are there so many dirty plates on the tables still? And they're like, well, hey, our dishwasher's broken and there's piles of dishes in the back. There's nowhere to put anything. And the person in charge is like, hey, if you don't get these plates cleaned up and gone, you're going to be fired as soon as this meal is over. But President Biden heard him. And all of a sudden, you notice President Biden gets up. So does Kevin McCarthy, because they're buddies now. And they walk back into the kitchen, you know, and you want to go back with them, but the Secret Service won't let you go, but you're peeking in through that window. You know how there's that window so servers don't run into each other? And when you get to the, you look through, and there's President Biden. He takes off his jacket. He undoes his presidential cufflinks, and he starts rolling up his sleeves, and there's Kevin McCarthy right next to him, and they start washing dishes together, and the Secret Service is on either side of them, and they're drying as the president is washing dishes. This would be amazing if that were to happen, if that were to happen for us. And in a much greater way, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, gets down and he washes feet. And I want us to think about it for a moment, because he washes Matthew's feet, and then he probably washed Thaddeus's feet, and then he washed Peter's feet. But when he goes to wash Peter's feet, Peter, the guy who's always funny, he says, Lord, you can't wash my feet. You're the Lord. And Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you can't be part of me. And Peter goes, well, if that's the case, Lord, wash all of me. And I'm sure Jesus laughed that moment like, Peter, the feet are enough right now, okay? You know, and all of a sudden he washes Peter's feet. And then he gets to the next feet and he knows whose feet they are. They're the feet of the one who are going to betray him. They're Judas's feet. And we read this in verse 12. And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And he shows us what it means to be servants who serve with joy. And yes, church family, there are moments of sacrifice. And yet, even in the sacrifice, sometimes there's just this joy in the Lord that leads to laughter that sometimes helps us just get through those moments of sacrifice. And so I'm pretty confident that Jesus actually smiled a lot and that he had fun. And I also know that if you read your study Bible, you probably won't see that in the headings over all the passages, but you'll find it in the narrative of the Old Testament and the New Testament in between all the things that are going on. Because when we get to the early church, what we read about the early church is that followers of Christ would meet in each other's homes and enjoy friendship and faith together. In Acts 2:46, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together," that's going to church like we are right now, "and breaking bread in their homes," that's dinner for eight if you haven't been to one of those, all right? "And attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Other translations say with great joy and sincere hearts, which I'm sure means that, you know, when they pray, they're like, "Lord, thank you. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for this liver and cauliflower for dinner tonight." I've shared this before. My mom served us liver all during growing up. It just would show up. And I swore as a child that if I ever became a parent, I'd never make my kids eat liver for dinner. And my mom would always try to tame the liver by giving us bacon with it to somehow. It doesn't tame the liver to put bacon, as wonderful as bacon is, with it. But I think sometimes, somehow, in our picture of who Jesus is, in our picture of what the Bible says, somehow we've tamed the joy of being in the Lord. We've almost written the fun right out of it. The smiles that the body of Christ is called to have as we serve together. In fact, would you pause with me for a moment and just think how far God went for us to experience joy in Him? Think how far we were from Him because of our sin and brokenness, and how far He went in sending His Son from heaven to this earth to live a sinless life and to die on that cross in our place and then rise again and invite us into life with Him, where His grace and love is an endless fill for us. And as we experience that, we actually grow in joy the more we understand it. In Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And Paul is so sure of rejoicing that he tells us a second time. And so let a part of the rejoicing involve some joy that leads to laughter, because God truly is that good, no matter how crazy He is. Now, I realize that some of you in the room, this is still difficult, even though you've seen all those proofs in the Bible, because you have more of a church background. You come from what I like to call the frozen chosen, all right? You do. You know what this is like. And this is one of those places where it's really good to learn from our holy roller brothers and sisters, because our holy roller brothers and sisters, they know how to dance. They know how to yell. They know how to have fun. But if you're from the frozen chosen, you say, if you're happy and you know it, your face will never show it, right? You know who you are. And if that's you today, the Bible says this again: I say rejoice. Again, Encounter family, I say rejoice. Amen. Just like those kids did all week long and danced to their heart's content. And let's not miss the final book of the Bible and the final part of our tour through the scriptures, because when you get to the end, you get to the book of Revelation. And at the end of the book of Revelation is this great banquet, this great wedding feast of the Lamb, and a new heavens and a new earth where we will be in God's very presence with amazing joy. And so, yes, I think it's good that followers of Jesus Christ have fun and laugh and serve the Lord with joy and with laughter and with smiles and celebrate special occasions and faith-filled holy days. And yes, it is very good to enjoy the blessings and the gifts of God, especially when there are so many joy stealers around us every day. And so here's my challenge for you. This is my biblical challenge for you this summer as a church family, coming from your pastor's mouth to you. Would you just lean into God this summer and the blessings He's given you, and take some small moments and some big moments, and with some joy-filled, Christ-filled fun, enjoy this summer in Jesus Christ. And then take someone along with you, especially someone who doesn't know the joy of the Lord like you. And maybe just show up at someone's house and give them a gift to make them smile. I mean, leave a cantaloupe on their front porch. And the next day, leave a watermelon.
or a grapefruit. Delight yourself in the Lord, Encounter Family, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Father, in many ways, I feel like our children preach this sermon all week long. And today we just get to put a comma on it, or maybe an exclamation point. And we thank you for what you teach us through the kids of this church and our community. And dear Jesus, we just thank you that we get to rejoice in you. And Lord, that even when it's tough, Lord, and even when there's lots of things going on in life, we can always take joy in you. And that sometimes part of that joy is just having some fun. And that in those moments as well, you smile over your kids. Thanks, Father. We love you. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.